smart enough, I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
People like me. Oh my goodness. Is that how you start your day?
Is that Jack Handy or Stuart Smalley?
Jack Handy? I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, welcome to another episode of Opinions That Don't Matter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Katie.
And we are here to discuss such exciting things as Johnny Depp. Because
no.
Apparently that's what everyone wants to talk about. Elon Musk in Twitter. No.
I do think there is something with Johnny Depp that is at least important to mention up front.
He's my best friend and we hang out on the weekend. He's teaching me to play a guitar.
Oh.
He's not as good of a guitar teacher as PJ is, but...
PJ is the best. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say is that men often don't speak up about being abused because there's this thought or belief that, you know, we're bigger, we're stronger, we won't be abused or beat up, especially not from the women in your life, you know, because technically, like, I'm definitely very weaker and smaller than you.
I wouldn't say that. Look at these bruises on my arms, people.
You had to get blood drawn. I like how you have a bruise, like, in the bend of your elbow. Look at this bruise. But anyways,
to clarify, I had blood work done yesterday, so yes. My arms are bruised because they couldn't find a vein. They couldn't find blood in this arm, which was strange.
That arm's dead.
I was like, I'm pretty sure there's blood in there. She's like, I don't know. We can't. I was like, okay, well, try the other one. She's like, yeah, that might be better.
Anyway, men don't report abuse, especially, you know, when it's domestic abuse like that as often. And I think that, you know, at the very least... Because she has a history of abusing other partners, we've learned.
Oh.
But she's bisexual, so she's had relationships with women, and it's other women who've reported it.
Okay.
Which just goes to show that, like, men just don't report it because they think it makes them maybe look weak or something, but
and
it is serious and it does happen.
Something to consider as well is that he's got a persona that's wrapped around being a leading man in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So, not that his roles are always macho, but... You know, like, there's something about being the leading man and then to say, oh, I've been abused by a woman. Like, it just,
yeah.
It's these old norms or mentalities that, I don't know how to explain that properly, well, like, but you know what I'm saying.
It's a
stigma.
It's stigma and assumptions and, like, in general, this happens with abuse, but I think in particular with men where it's like, what does that say about me?
Mm.
You know? And so I think if there's anything to take away from, like, a celebrity trial, which, like, is none of our business and I don't think it should be televised, but the thing that we should take away is that men can be abused too. It is just as serious and it should be reported. You know?
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. I do want to make a clarification based on something I said last week.
Yeah.
I was listening to the podcast as I was editing it and I made a mistake. I said that civil trials are able to be filmed while
having nose issues.
Criminal cases are not. And sorry, bless you.
Sorry, excuse me.
But it turns out I said that wrong. It's actually that federal cases cannot be broadcast.
Oh, okay.
But everything else is fair game. So.
Oh, so even criminal.
I think.
It's just federal.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. With that said, it was interesting because I was flipping through the news yesterday and one of your viewers brought to light that Amber Heard, there was, I guess... a psychologist or a psychiatrist, I'm not sure, who is on the stand, perhaps, or
as an expert introduced witness, maybe?
Yeah, or they introduced evidence from this person.
It could go either way. Depends on what they wanted.
Right. And I believe the person has made an assessment that she has borderline personality disorder as well as histrionic personality disorder.
Oh, histrionic makes sense.
I don't
borderline
know.
Borderline doesn't, I could see both. If for those of you who don't know, borderline personality disorder, its main pillar is fear of abandonment. And she does swing from relationship to relationship. So maybe that's part of that. And you can have, like, you can feel very impulsive and struggle with, like, sense of self. And I don't know if that would necessarily, you know, be the catalyst for her
abusing somebody. I mean, it just,
but you can be very sensitive. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that as, I know that word, people judge it, but it's just the truth is that they call BPD people, like, emotional burn victims. And so when something happens, it's a small slight, it feels huge to us with BPD and it can feel, oh, you know, and I could see that maybe if she already has a short temper or never learned how to manage, you know, that could be what sets her off. Histrionic is more about doing anything for attention, which even this trial, you could argue, it can be sexualized. It cannot be, it's, and that's like I'm doing not doing these full justice, just like telling you bare bones, but that I could see that.
Hmm. Very interesting.
But from what I know. Yeah.
Well, that's them in the news. Ta-da. That's all I know. I mean, it's just the highlights. I read the headlines.
We have an intense puppy parlance.
Oh, do we ever? Man, shit went. Can I say shit on this show?
Sure.
Okay.
Say shit as much as you want.
Things went down and it just keeps getting more exciting. Having a dog in your life is very interesting.
It is. Well, we told you guys how Charlotte and Roxy chased a big armadillo, like big. I am holding my hands up if you're just listening to like about a foot and a half long.
It was like the size of a rugby ball. 6 inches
wide. Yeah, like a rugby ball. Almost exactly, but with a tail and a cute little head with ears. That was the big one. And they could not figure out. I mean, Charlotte just barked and ran after it because she's just a little foo-foo dog. But Roxy couldn't figure out how to bite the thing because it had its shell. And she tried with the head and it would like come back like it was going to bite her, but then it'd kick with its feet. And anyway, chaos ensued and I ran around chasing them. I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing. This was crazy.
That made three of you. I was inside. I wasn't even
part Sean of was it, asleep.
So, yeah.
We trapped that one and it was taken away.
To the creek, humanely, and mm-hmm.
They release
loose.
It. Yeah. They take it and release it. Now, since then, our neighbors said, well, we've had little, like small ones over on our side. We're trying to try to trap those. So they called the same pest company who came out to trap theirs. And we also had the dog still freaking out. Like Charlotte got under our deck. My mom got worried because she didn't come out. And she was like digging and digging and digging in this one part. And we assumed it was the armadillo's nest, if they have a nest. Anyways.
Cribs. Armadillo cell. Welcome to my first crib.
Is that how you think armadillos
is talk? That a Benz in the garage? You know?
Or are they guinea pigs?
I don't know. He didn't make any noises. He just kind of wiggled his ears and nose.
And kicked. And yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, long story short, dogs were still sure something was under the deck. And I was like, oh God, we probably, because next door they said they caught one and they saw one and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God.
They trapped a small one, released it at the creek. Then they were sure that maybe there was another one. Mm-hmm. At the same time as we were passing an email back and forth about, you know, what the action is in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. you.
So I took Roxy out. This was Sunday night, about 11:30. Sean was like putting dishes away. We were getting ready for bed. And so I was like, oh, I'll take her back out. So I took her out and she went pee. And then we were coming back to go back inside the house and she darted off into the darkness. Now, because they're working on our garage, we don't have any outdoor lights right now. So at night, it's like you have to have a flashlight. But at the front of the house, there are lights. So like I walked out with her there and that's where she peed. And then we went in essentially into the darkness to get into the house. And when she ran off, I was like, oh no. And I was like, oh, whatever. She probably like, she's been sniffing for that armadillo. Well, then...
Armadillo by morning.
Then I like try to call her and she's like, she's making noises. I'm like, oh no. So I go inside. I'm like, Sean, I need a flashlight. I think she got the armadillo or something. I swear she must have caught it. And she did.
So I come outside with the flashlight. And you ever seen that? It was like the internet was really angry and it was Justin Bieber eating a burrito sideways instead of from the...
Yes.
That's what Roxy was doing. She was eating the armadillo burrito sideways. She had it in her mouth. It was, you know, not very large. It was like a little piglet.
It was a baby and I felt
didn't
very
have
bad.
Much of an armor on it. And,
no, because it had just been born.
She looked like a Dracula. Like two fangs stuck in it and like...
It was bleeding.
Yeah. And I was like, oh no.
I know, and
you
like,
feel bad for the creature.
I did. I'm like... God damn, you should have gotten that trap earlier.
Right. We were trying to get
you'd
you out
with
of here.
You'd be with your mom in the creek.
So I asked Roxy to drop it. Roxy ran to the door to present
take
it
inside.
At the door.
Which is why we don't use doggy doors.
Right. So she, you know, I grabbed her. And,
it was already dead.
It was pretty, yeah.
So anyway, we had to take care of the critter and put it in the garbage because I didn't want her eating it.
Say a little prayer for me.
So that all happened at 11:30. But at least she saved us another $200 for them to come and trap them. Jules in our community, I was talking about this on the Patreon live stream. She was like, I bet they have a racket where they like have them breed. And then, you know, they know they're going to have to come back and, you know, they release it three doors down.
It's the same one over and over.
Because $200 is a lot. When they told me that, I was like, holy.
We're in the wrong business.
We should just be trapping armadillos. But anyway, so they caught one next door. Roxy caught that one. The mom is gone. So armadillos, I guess, can have litters as small as two, but up to, I don't know, like 8 or 10 or some crazy amount. My mom sent me a bunch of facts about them. And their average lifespan is 16 years.
Oh, really?
And they can live up to 30 years. And I was like, wow. But anyways, we have an armadillo problem, but we might not anymore.
The armadillos have a human problem.
They do. They do.
I think we've encroached on their territory.
Yeah, I definitely think we have.
Well, anyways.
Anyway, so Roxy earned her keep. She saved us $200.
Yeah.
But I felt bad about it and I hated it. But it's a dog. It's whatever, you know? So that was our puppy parlance. Is there anything else that she's been doing?
No, I think that's it. That's good. Oh, today she was obsessed with peanut butter. I didn't know she'd had tried it before. It was amazing.
I gave it to her on a little piece of apple once because I was having that for a snack.
Yeah.
And I made her do some tricks for it.
I didn't know about that. And
then I've used it so I can trim her nails.
Oh.
Put it on her lick pad.
Well, I had a little bit of peanut butter for breakfast this morning. Just, you know, being sensible, nothing huge or whatever. I was just a little dollop on a spoon. But there was a little extra. So I went and I gave it to her off my finger. And she went bananas.
Because she doesn't get it very often.
I didn't know that she'd ever tried it, but she was kooky and
doing
tricks.
She did all the tricks.
It was kind of fun. And then she followed me around and kept sitting everywhere. Uh-huh. I'd stop. She'd sit like as if.
Look at him like, hey, I'm doing the good thing.
So if you know how to do that, why don't you do that all the time?
Right, especially when you're on a leash.
Exactly. Anyways, that's puppy parlance. Thank you for listening.
Yep.
Roxy appreciates you. We appreciate you. Listen, if this is your first time here.
Oh.
Don't forget to subscribe.
Leave us a review. Share it with a friend.
Yeah. If you're on Apple, certainly leave a review. That
helps
the show.
Can you leave reviews anywhere else?
I don't think so. But if you're watching on Spotify, which it is a video platform for us, you can also listen on Spotify, by the way. But if you're looking at the video, you'll also notice that sometimes we have polls and questions for you to answer.
Really?
Yeah.
Spotify has so many tricks.
I know. Tricks up their sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, and I do have another housekeeping thing. We have a member of our community who is new to the trans community, has been working in therapy and realized, you know, that's where they belong, and is wanting to know if there's anybody out there in our community. I know we have other members of our community who might want to be a resource to assist or to at least support and help them navigate this new community. They're wanting just some peer support.
Oh.
And I told them I would put it out there and you can leave it in the comments. And if so, then I will connect you with them. But their family is not very supportive. So we're kind of looking for other people to be there for them.
That's got to be pretty difficult if your family's not supportive of what your life is.
Well, they have another member of their family who is also trans and the family essentially disowned them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fear around that. They don't live at home anymore, but it's still a little difficult, you know, and it's nice to have other people who've either already been through that process themselves, have, you know, come out to friends or family or whatever, and at least can, you know, just be there and actually get it. So there's something about feeling like somebody gets it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So anyway, let us know in those comments. I will check it. And I'm sure that member of our community will check it. I'm trying to keep everybody's, you know, any details.
Yeah.
It's their personal business. But they did ask if I would do that. And I offered it because I was like, I think we have members of our community.
Well, that's, you know, nice who might be the bridge.
Might support. And also, obviously, I recommend the Trevor Project. They have a lot of great support there.
That's a fantastic organization.
Yep.
I have heard from a lot of people who have used the services over the years and who also support, and it's legit, and they do a great job.
Yeah, we donated money and gone to events for them, and we've tried to find ways to work together, but I don't know if we've worked directly with them on videos yet, but we've done other projects with them, and I think they're really great. So anyways, let me know or email us at otdmpod@gmail.com. That would also be a great and easy way for us to get you connected with each other.
Oh, two other things on my agenda.
Yeah.
One is a medical update.
Medical. What's
and
happening?
One and two. Medical update. There was something else. Anyways, the medical update.
It'll
dun,
come.
Dun, dun. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just, so I opened my email. Yesterday, I went and got my blood test done. And then my results came in.
Oh, wow. So fast.
I know. I was like, good on them for good service. Quest Diagnostics.
They own the whole blood draw
space,
I feel like.
Luck of the draw is what I say. So I went in, got my blood drawn. Previously, when I visited the doctor, I didn't have my cholesterol done by accident. They forgot to write
check
up that panel.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, drum roll. I'm unhealthy.
Oh, you got high cholesterol. Oh, yeah, that's why we were in the bathroom. Sean was taking his vitamins and I was putting makeup on for this. And he was like, it's time to change my diet. And I was like, what?
I successfully lowered my cholesterol previously once before, like just at will. I Dwight Schruted it and I retracted my cholesterol levels. I'm going to have to do it again. I know, you know, you kind of let things get off the rails a little bit. And so it's time to tighten things up.
Tighten it up.
A little bit more exercise, a lot more exercise, better food choices, a little less alcohol. I've already cut caffeine out, which is good. This I didn't realize
caffeine's not that bad for you.
Surprisingly,
it can increase your blood pressure. Well, if you have too much, you can have a cup a day or two cups a day.
And it also affects your cholesterol and your triglycerides.
Oh, I had no idea.
I know. So I have some work to do. Not a lot, but a little. I know what the doctor's already going to say, so I'm going to preemptively strike. But I'll go back in for another blood panel coming up soon. But kicker of all kickers, you know it's low? My vitamin D.
What?
I know.
So I was trying to guess. I was like,
it was low previously. Then they gave me the super dose of 50,000.
We still take it every day. You might need a bigger dose then.
Yeah. Or is it vitamin B? I think it's vitamin D that I'm low on. But either way, I take supplements for both.
Yeah. And so, also we were in Corpus. You went on the boat with Larry. Like you've been out in the sun.
Yeah. Womp womp. So I'm getting old.
We always got to take care of yourself. That's why it's important that we all get our physicals, get our blood drawn. I'll never forget. So my grandma would refuse to go to the doctor forever. And my papa, of all things, it's funny because they always say like women live longer, you know, I don't know, probably for many reasons, but a lot in my family, the joke was that women go to the doctor. Like when something's wrong, we go to the doctor and men don't go as often. And anyway, it was the opposite with my papa and my grandma. And she went to the doctor finally, let's say she's like the ripe age of like 75. And does like blood work and everything. And because she's a heavier woman, the doctor expected her to have like high cholesterol, you know, I don't know, high blood pressure, all this stuff. And she had no issues. And it wasn't until I think she was like 80 that she had to take a blood pressure pill because she had high blood pressure. But it was just, it's just interesting. And she, that's the only medicine she was on until like the last year of her life. It was just that blood pressure pill. Also, she was supposed to take potassium, but she refused. So there's that.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that once the 1950s roll around and we start introducing all sorts of junk into the food system, that, you know, progressively everyone's becoming more ill. Also, we have this,
we're living longer.
Well, yeah, but we're also eating hydrogenated foods and oils. And there's a lot of things going on. Massive amounts of sugar, massive amounts of sodium.
Totally.
Because, you know, in developed nations, these things are for the most part readily available. And if you're getting cheap food sources as well, those typically are infused with a lot of the things that make it taste good, but aren't that good for you.
Yeah. So agreed. But all anyway, we got, Sean had his blood work done. I'll have my physical again coming up here soon.
Let's get physical,
but get checked out. I know people get scared. So like my grandma wouldn't want to go to the doctor because she was like, I don't want to, what if they tell me something bad? I'd rather just not know.
I love it. I go there. I chat away.
I ask all sorts of questions. Curious.
Yeah. I'm like, ooh, I'm the science experiment today.
Yeah. And I know that it can be scary. It can be triggering for its own reasons, but please, please, please get your yearly physicals, ask questions, see the doctor. If you need to have a support person come with you, have someone come with you. Because so many things are preventative, like your vitamin D. If you don't know, if you don't remember,
I have rickety crickets.
No, but like 3 years ago, Sean's vitamin D was so low. We thought he was like depressed. Like it was just weird.
I was depressed.
But it causes symptoms like that.
And very pale.
And we wouldn't have known what it was if we didn't do that. And then you could fix it so that you feel better. Like it's a simple vitamin that he had to take. Gave you weird dreams, but overall improved your mood and energy level.
True.
So yeah, go get checked out. Okay.
Well, that's it for now. I think
that was all on my list.
Yeah. I think we can safely move into our letters because we want to catch up with you.
Yes. What's happening with you?
What's happening?
I'm trying to think if there's anything else happening with us. We have some weddings coming up. We haven't had weddings in forever.
I know. Wedding season is upon us. Lamar is getting married. We're going to head up to Michigan. That's going to be exciting to see him walk the aisle.
And, walk the aisle.
Well, you know, it's a fashion show. You walk the aisle, don't you? What do you
call
it?
Men don't walk down the aisle. You walk down the aisle.
Oh, yeah, that's right. To see his beautiful bride walked the aisle.
Yeah, and then, walked down the aisle. Not walk the aisle.
Walked the runway. No. Cameras are going.
No, but remember, I mean, I guess you do walk down the aisle as the man. You walk first. And right. then remember your grandma walked you down?
Yeah.
And then you stood and you waited while the rest of the people come. And then I came.
Nervously waiting for you if in case you weren't going to show up.
You weren't nervous.
No.
You I had guys
at the gate with nets in case she tried to run away. I was like, don't let her run away.
We'd already done our pictures. You'd seen me.
I'm just kidding.
We had my papa walk me down the aisle. Yeah. Walk me down the aisle.
Right.
Say it with me.
So we have Lamar's wedding.
He's going to walk down the aisle.
Then we also have Lauren and Adam getting married.
Yes. Yes. What? That felt like I was cutting you off.
Oh, I'm just excited because they're party people. Not that Lamar is not a party person, but.
Not in the same way.
Yeah, different types of parties.
Yeah, so. And I've never been to a Chaldean wedding. It's so
going to be going off.
That's great food. Lamar's and his family. They're Chaldean, and his soon-to-be wife is Chaldean. So I'm very excited to experience that. Is the food going to be different too?
I'm not sure.
I don't really know anything about the Chaldean culture, so I'm very excited about
that. Lots of dancing.
And if you don't know what Chaldeans are, they're Christian Iraqis.
Yes.
So anyway, so there's that. That'll be cool. Lauren and Adam, good friends of ours too. They've been together forever, and I've kind of just been like, when are you guys going to make this official? Because let's party. Let's celebrate, you guys. And they also love good food and drink.
Yeah.
And we're having like a whole event at the river.
I thought wedding season was almost over for us.
I thought we were done. We'd moved on to where our friends' kids would be getting married next, right. and we'd have to just wait it out. But so we have those. And then we've been recently invited to our friend Nazara McKenzie's wedding in San Francisco. I feel it's like... We haven't had weddings in forever.
I know. Also, the pandemic probably put a little damper on. We could have spread these out over a couple of years, but instead, now that not the pandemic's over by any means, seems like we just caught COVID. But
but people are getting on with their lives because there's only so much you can do.
I heard there's going to be a nasal spray that's coming out shortly.
Oh, awesome!
Yeah,
for COVID.
Yes.
Just get rid of it.
Spray it in your nose. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because it is it's a pulmonary disease. They call it right lungs. Lung disease?
I think partially. I think they've moved on beyond it just being pulmonary.
Okay. Well, it also affects your heart. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that makes sense. It would go in your nose, is what I was going to say.
Yeah. First line defense.
Yep. I don't know. Okay. So that's, I'm excited about that. And I'm excited. I just love a wedding when it's not mine.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Because planning your wedding, like, don't do it. Just elope.
No stress. Just chill.
Although, even though it's super stressful and it's expensive, it's still nice to see all your friends, you know?
100%.
It was still fun. And your grandma got to sign our marriage certificate. Yeah.
And Lamar's really wedding is going to be a reunion of a bunch of friends that haven't seen each other in a while.
I know. Is Nichols coming?
I don't think so, but.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm excited to see everybody. So it'll be fun. Okay. Let's get into our first letter. And it is just simply titled Letter for the Podcast. It says, Dear Katie and Sean, I am writing in response to some of the folks that have chimed in about medical traumas. Katie was considering doing some research on them and dedicating a show or a video to them, and I think that is a fabulous idea. It's unfortunately really common. It can be scary to have a... I think the thing about medical stuff, first of all, the fact that we aren't doctors and we don't fully understand what's going on can be scary. Like, I'll never forget my friend Joanna after having her second child hemorrhaged. And then was like bleeding more than normal and had to be rushed to the hospital. And they said if she hadn't come, she would have died. Like crazy. And she still like has a tough time with that. But I think it's because we don't understand. We don't know. And we can't fix it on our own. And also we can feel like we just have to do those. Like, oh, you have to have surgery. Okay. You know, I don't know. It's something about that like lack of empowerment or control over the situation that I think is scary. But it's also, ooh. Roxy is making all sorts of noise.
Well, it's not like a vehicle. I mean, your body is a vehicle. Don't get me wrong. But with a car or something of this nature, if something goes wrong, ultimately you can get a new one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a mechanic and you determine that it's not. But with your health, you have to maintain it, right? Yeah. Otherwise, what's the option? You know.
Yeah. So anyway, I think
it is scary.
Yeah, and also like the second component I was going to talk about is the fact that like. Having people like access your body when you're out, you're unconscious, can be hard for people too. Okay.
Also, when they come back with information, a lot of it's gibberish or you're so nervous that you don't recall the information, which is usually my case. I'm like, what did they tell me? I don't remember. You know,
that's why I usually try to be there
down when or they, record it audio wise.
Yep. Smart, all smart things. Okay, so this person goes on, says, when I was a boy, I was taken to a hospital on a number of occasions for testing, but never really told why I was there. As you might imagine, it was a difficult experience. I had been having some health issues that caused me to do poorly in school, and my mom and dad wanted to get to the bottom of it, but just could not give me the support that I needed, perhaps because my dad was a workaholic that basically put his success in the business world above everything else. Oh, that's a bummer. And my mom was suffering from depression. Ooh, that's hard. Only when I was in my 30s did I get somewhat of an answer to what was ailing me. It took me nearly dying from a handful of blood clots for a doctor to do some genetic testing. Do you have what I have? If Katie was to do some work on this, because if you guys don't know, I'm a carrier of the factor 5 Leiden, which is like a blood clotting disorder. And I'm wondering if that... Okay, anyway. If Katie was to do some work on this, I think there's a great three-part message to someone who has experienced any medical traumas. Number one, you are a survivor. Give yourself credit for making it through your experience. I agree.
Good advice.
Number two, when it comes to healthcare providers, you have to like them. If not, you will not go to see them. That's also, I mean, we talk about that with therapy and therapists, but it's also true for doctors. If you don't like them or think that they hear you, why would you go to them when you're, you know? And number three, learn as much as you can about your condition. Education is empowerment. I agree.
These are all great points.
It says, keep up the good work. Y'all have helped more folks than you ever know. And Katie, speaking of blood clots, you had the best, you had best take care of yourself and your factor five. Oh. I do. I wear my compression socks when we fly, and I don't smoke. I don't take my birth control. I do all the things I'm supposed to do. I exercise regularly. If I could ever be of assistance to folks in the community, please reach out. I respond to emails and have Facebook. Tom from Virginia.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
Just one quick note on that. I think it's really interesting that these things aren't taught. Like those three simple points, I was never taught that in school. And I think that that could really, I don't know, maybe it's taught in other people's schooling systems because I'm only representative of one province in Canada. But yeah, I would assume
But I'm from another state in the United States and we weren't, I feel like health class, I think everybody agrees with this, that there are a lot of different things that should be taught in school that we're not.
Balance a checkbook.
Yeah. Budgets.
Savings. Compound interest.
How health insurance works in your area. And it's important even in Canada. Like you have to get a primary care doctor and then they have to, you have to accept you. And then you have to, you know what I mean? There's like a process to every system. And especially in the United States when it comes to like...
I don't need to know that. I know A squared plus B squared equals C squared. I don't use
it. Pythagorean
theorem. I'm sure it's used around me in the world, but
yeah,
you know, or the Magna Carta. Come on.
So important. But I think with health and regard, like regarding what that Tom's letter was, is I think it's important for people to know their rights when it comes to your medical records and any kind of thing like that, that you can select the doctor that you like or want, you know, how you can educate yourself about an illness, how to advocate for yourself. All that stuff I think is important and could be easily part of health class because you do learn about like STDs, or we did. I don't know. We had like a, my school wasn't one of those conservative, doesn't teach about sex. Ours taught about sex and safe sex and STDs and stuff. I feel like it could easily weave into there where you're like, this is how you make sure that you're okay. This is how you ask questions. These are important things when, you know.
Yeah, because when you're younger, for the most part, now not everyone, but for the most part, your health is in great shape. So you want to keep it there. And I know that they try and teach you these things, you know, in PE. Maybe I just wasn't listening to the lessons. Like, hey, you should.
It's probably also a long time ago.
Yeah. But I really think that we need to up that game so that we get this nation healthy.
Well, yeah. And so people feel more empowered to make good medical decisions for
and
themselves.
Get the fast food out of the high school cafeterias.
Yeah.
Why is Pizza Hut selling?
We didn't have that in mind, but we did have pop.
Like yeah. Soda. Why are there vending machines with soda? That's not good.
Okay, Sean. One thing at a time. Let's move on.
Yeah.
We have a letter from our minister of rock and roll.
Oh, hey, Dave.
It's not Dave. And it is entitled, "We Finally Had Our First Gig."
Yeah. Yay.
This is from Christoph. It says, "Dear Katie, dear Sean, dear Roxy, and the whole OTDM community. Christoph here, minister of rock and roll, high priest of the electric guitar, and godfather of the nosy neighbors."
That's his
noisy
band.
Neighbors. Sorry. Nosy.
The nosy neighbors. It's a bunch of...
they're all in your business. I ordered us a noisy neighbor shirt, but it hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, cool.
So 10 days ago, we finally had our first gig with this band. And man, were we great. I posted some pictures on the Discord server as well as a video. More can be found at our YouTube channel on our website, www. Remember when people used to always say that? I just thought that was fun. www.noisyneighbors.at.
So I looked you up and I encountered another Noisy Neighbors.
That's what Christoph said. They're not the only noisy. No, not here, but he told me this.
I was like, man, Christoph was playing gigs in Virginia. That's awesome. Good for him. I totally over my head and I'm looking in the photos. I can see people, you know, at the show and I'm like, none of them look like a rock and roll god, which...
Where's the white hair from
Christoph? Nobody has good hair in this band. I'm like, it's a bunch of Sean's, you know, and... No, that's not him. That's just a person loving the music. You know, there's no guitar in that person's hand. It was a totally different Noisy Neighbors.
Noisy Neighbor.
It was the Noisy Neighbors. Nosy. Cease and desist immediately.
Send them a cease and desist. So then they have a Facebook page, Instagram, etc.
Okay.
Yes, I'm also the social media manager of our band.
Love it.
So the evening was a huge success. Between sound check and the gig, I have to admit, I was pretty nervous.
Check three
means go pee because you feel like you have to go even though you just went. But I guess this is normal when you play for the first time with a band in front of an audience. Of course, and normally we wouldn't have these big lulls in performance where we have, you know, 2 years of nothing. Usually you'd have little, you know, you'd be doing stuff and it wouldn't feel like such a big deal, I guess. But it's also normal to be nervous in general. And of course, there was the anxiety of how many people would actually show up. I know. I hate that feeling. I know that too. In the end, there were about 30 to 50 people, which doesn't sound like much, but it filled the club pretty well. That's a lot of people. And I think this is not bad for an unknown band on a Wednesday night.
I think it's awesome.
That's amazing. The only downside of that date was that on the same night, Katie's live stream happened and I had to miss it. Well, you can't have it all. I know. And I do my best to move the dates around and everything. We did Fridays, we've done Saturdays, but lately Wednesdays have been, it was the last month or two have been the days for some live streams. I know that it hasn't worked for everybody, so I apologize. Anyways, my nervousness was gone the minute I entered the stage and started to play. And from then I knew we got this. And maybe it did help that I'm not the focus of attention as this is usually the singer. So I could relax a bit. Yes, we made some mistakes, but who cares? That's the funny thing is when it comes to playing music, because I was in choir and in band in high school. When it comes to playing music, unless it's a really off note that stands out, nobody knows if you make a mistake, especially when it comes to bands, because they don't know your music that well. Mm. So like, oh, we didn't hit that note or we even maybe skipped a whole verse. Nobody knows. Only you know. So who cares? We had a good time, especially our singer. It was her first time as lead singer in front of people. She sings in a choir, but this was different. It is different. And I could see throughout the gig how she warmed up more and more and became really comfortable in her role.
Oh, cool.
Yay. So we played our gig. The money we collected was donated for Ukrainian refugees, and we had a real good time. Can't wait for the next one, which will be on July 1st. So that's it for today from my side. Hope you're doing well. Christoph.
Doing great. And congratulations on putting on the show. And yeah. It's just exciting.
How exciting. Keep putting yourself back out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Noisy Neighbors. We'll hopefully have our shirts by next week, but I don't know. It says they've shipped.
I would assume band practice this week as well. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think band practices are on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Maybe Tuesdays.
Hopefully there's little snippets on your social media from band practice.
I'm sure.
I think behind the scenes is always cool.
To check out their Instagram, see what they've got going. Okay. We unplugged Roxy's doorbell, and she is hitting it vigorously.
Click, click, click.
Oh, okay. From Christoph to our Prime Minister, we have an update. This is entitled OTDM Land Update. Also, IV machine beeping, and you're going to stick that needle where? Hi, David Redacted. Says, hello, Katie, Sean, and the OTDM universe. It is the Right Honorable David Redacted, Prime Minister of OTDM Land. I came back early from my trip once I heard what happened with Roxy.
Thank you. We appreciate your service.
As Prime Minister of OTDM Land, I shall not have any of the citizens of our great land injured by such an attack. Roxy was bitten by another dog. Therefore, with the help of Jules, the Secret Minister of Secrets, wait, nobody's supposed to know about the secret minister of secrets. Let's keep that between us. Okay, thanks. We have hired 4 of our most fearsome and terrifying animals that are ever known to mankind. That's right. We have brought in.
Lay it on me.
The chihuahuas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you send the chihuahuas in?
In parentheses, it says dramatic chipmunk meme. The Karens of the animal kingdom. What animal wants to mess with a chihuahua? No one. Who wants to mess with a Karen? No one. This extraordinary combination will keep Roxy safe. And I feel that she's in good hands. Or should I say paw? No, no puns here. Let's move on. OTDM land update. I want to announce today a new act that I signed called the Every Dog Has Its Day Act. Every dog in OTDM land has the inalienable right to wet food and chew toys and a well-maintained dog park.
God, OTDM land just keeps getting better.
Better and better. I hope the dogs enjoy their new unalienable rights. Don't worry about other animals, and we'll get to them. Our country is still new. We're working on getting things up and running. So all in good time. Moving on.
Compassionate leadership is what really makes things work.
David just, takes it upon himself, makes good changes, improves OTDM land. But we're moving on to IV machine beeping. Mm,
sounds serious.
Remember I was talking about how my grandma's was beeping and they had me just hit it, stop, and then it kept going.
Give it a kick or
and then I was like, I feel like this is getting out of control. Katie, you mentioned episode 107 that a nurse showed you the button to hit to mute the IV machine alarm. I have my own IV beeping story. Recently, I was hospitalized for cholangitis. Is that right? C-H-O-L-A-N-G-I-T-I-S?
Looks like that to me.
Which, according to HopkinsMedicine.org, is an inflammation of the bile duct system. The bile duct system carries bile from your liver and gallbladder into the first part of your small intestine. Ooh, that sounds painful, though, if you had an issue there. That wasn't fun. And as a side note, it wasn't fun when the hospital forgot where they put me in the middle of the night. But that's another story for another day. The IV machine I was hooked up to would go off on occasions, and the nurse would check the device, check the IV line, and turn off the alarm. The alarm was going off because the IV had stopped flowing. I caused this by positioning my arm in such a way to stop the fluids from entering my vein. Oh. You're going to stick that needle where? We're moving on. I have a question to ask everyone. What is your pain tolerance when you get a shot? I'd like to say mine is high, but I've never had to have one of those really big needles like you had to have in your hip.
Oh, that was gnarly. Yeah. I don't think I have a very high pain tolerance. I don't think I have a very low pain tolerance. I'm probably somewhere around the middle with slightly, I can take a little bit. Mm-hmm. When it comes to needles, the one in the hip, it was really big and ugly. And I don't know what gauge that was, but it was.
Felt really large.
Yeah, it looked like they were, using part of a spoon, or
yeah, you're like, that's like, not the right end. Pretty, yeah. What's happening?
But yesterday when the lady was taking my blood, mm-hmm. She was really digging around. Like she trying pushed to hit in a vein further. She goes, oh, we're going all the way up to your brain. I'm like, not the joke I want to hear.
Also finish what you're doing.
And then she was like kind of moving it back and forth and, in a stabbing motion.
No.
And that's when we decided to use the other arm. That didn't make me queasy or there was no pain associated. But when she went to stick it in the other arm, I was like, I got slightly nervous. And I never get nervous when I get
I think it's because the other one didn't work out so well.
Right. I was like.
You're like, ah.
Yeah. But pain tolerance? I mean, have you ever had an accident where you've busted up a bone pretty good?
I've never broken a bone, knock on wood. But I do, the reason I think I have a high pain tolerance is because I've had things done, like whether it's wisdom teeth pulled out, a root canal, gum graft surgery. Mm-hmm. All sorts of different things. And when those things happened, people in my life who'd had it before are like, oh my God, it's the worst. And they would like complain like it was, oh my God, so painful. And I was like, no, it wasn't. So I think that they're just losers who need to up their pain. I'm just kidding. No, that just makes me think that I must have a higher pain tolerance than other people.
I've had a couple of pretty good accidents.
Yeah.
Where there's the moment after, because life is going along, bam. Mm-hmm. And then you're lying there or whatever position you find yourself crumpled in, if you've been struck by a vehicle or.
Well, also your cluster headaches or trigeminal neuralgia or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
people talk about that like it's like the worst thing ever. And you don't act like it's easy peasy, but like you just have to like go lay down. Like people like double over.
Yeah, that's by far the worst pain. But the thing is that that's a weird one because it kind of ramps up and ramps up, ramps up, and then it's a nightmare. But what I'm talking about is an accident pain. Mm. The body is so amazing.
Like on your snowboard when you whack your head into things?
Oh, that, well, yeah, I hardly remember. I mean, I know what happened, but
his neck still makes this crunchy noise.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But I'm thinking more like along the lines of some of the bicycle accidents I've had or falling down like on ice, walking outside,
Montreal.
One time in Edmonton, I was walking with the boys. We were out and I had my hands in my pockets.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know why I had my hand, probably because they were cold. It's Edmonton minus 95 degrees. And I stepped off the curb and it was just ice where I stepped into and I didn't even notice. And I didn't have a chance to pull my hands out of my pocket and I landed square on my head, like right up top here, just, you know, ass over tea kettle. And I just remember like a flash of light and, you know, excruciating pain and lying there. But what's funny is that your body has these amazing mechanisms that have evolved over years. So instantly you're flooded with all, if you're not passed out or knocked out, your body is dumping all sorts of chemicals to like get you to be able to
get
out of the situation.
Survive.
And I'll tell you what, that is some of the most interesting experiences I've had is like after an accident, feeling like, oh man, you have to assess yourself. And I don't know what the time frame is, like 5 seconds, but your body's like, okay, buddy, time to get moving.
Yeah.
And you start assessing like, what is the damage? Does it hurt here? No. Ow. Am I confused? Like your body comes back online. But at the same time, you're being flooded with like all sorts of
endorphins, dopamine, and norepinephrine, adrenaline.
Yeah. And so I can see why like fighters or runners, people who like push the body to extremes, that high, I would assume you're producing the same sort of chemical response when you're...
Probably in some ways. That's why self-injury can be kind of addicting to people too. Same kind of thing. You're like triggering that response. Not everybody gets that, by the way, but I've had some patients over the years who've said that that was why.
How did we get here?
We were just talking about needle where? Yeah. And the pain. And I think I have a high tolerance and you think you have a little
higher. Sorry, David, I hijacked your story.
We tend to do that here at OGDM. Okay. So we had a question to ask everyone. What's your pain tolerance when you get a shot? Now think about the most painful injection that you've got. Now, I'd like to ask Sean this question. For this, I need Sean to think about his answer. First, what part of the body would hurt the most if they stuck a needle in it? Then think about what that experience would feel like. I will give my answer shortly, but for now, as a clue, my most painful experience with a needle was below the belt. Remember, because he had his piercing. Years ago, I had a nuclear infusion to check my circulation in specific body parts.
Okay.
The nurse administering the injection told me where they would inject the nuclear meds, and I should expect an uncomfortable burning sensation. I already don't like this. My toes curled up thinking about the potential pain. The worst, actually, the most painful needle experience I had was when I had an ingrown toenail. My toe got whacked with a softball. I think it was a softball or some girl stepped on it in soccer. It was a sports related injury. So I got an ingrown toenail on my right big toe and they had to inject my toe to numb it to be able to pull out the nail, the part of the nail. And when I tell you that injection, that burning sensation, I can still feel it. Roxy's getting a drink. It's just so intense. Okay. As a person who's gotten a lot of piercings and body mods done, I can say this was the most excruciatingly painful experience I've come across with a needle. Where did the nurse place that needle? In the webbing between my toes. So sensitive.
Yeah, that's a tough area. You were just talking about the toes. I mean, there's a lot of nerves there.
Yeah, and it's just a sensitive area. Oof. I can feel it breaking the skin and the liquid entering and burning around the injection site. It felt like it took forever. It was more like 30 seconds. Still. All I knew was I was glad it was over. And then I forgot. They needed to do the same on my other foot. That's the worst. See, mine was one and done. Like they had to do that toe. Other toe was all good. The infusion was to see how fast the nuclear medicine would flow from my toes up to my legs.
There's got to be better ways to do
it. Right? Medicine's come a long way in a lot of other... Come on, people. Come on. I was glad it was over, and I never had to experience that again until 4 months later. Going back to Sean, was the webbing in between your toes the answer you were thinking?
No, not at all.
Probably not, I'm guessing. You said below the belt, I was thinking like in your peener.
Right. I had that already, and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True.
It was awkward, though, having that conversation with two men. Well, because I had a vasectomy, for those of you who don't know. And no big deal, right? No big deal, guys. You know, quite the nervous interaction. But you're sitting there with two people and all you can smell is burning flesh. And you're like, what?
Is that me? I didn't know they cauterized those. I mean, it makes sense, but.
The seminal ducts, mm-hmm. You know. Not crazy. The Anaheim Ducks, but.
Yeah, not the Anaheim.
Anyways, very awkward conversation. A lot of tugging and giggling, which I was not expecting. So
the giggling. You're so smart.
It was me. It was me giggling.
It's just funny because.
I was nervous.
Because not that I had to have surgery like that in my lady bits, but as women, when we have to have our OBGYN appointments and stuff, it's never pleasant. And we do it every year. And so it's just funny when dudes have to do something with their bits, then they're like, oh, it was so strange. And
well, it just, you know. it was what it was, you know, it was a new experience.
Totally.
We keep in touch on Facebook, you know?
Yeah. We're buddies, you know? Okay. So, before I go, I have three questions for you two. Hopefully you'll find them uninteresting.
Okay.
Number one, have you ever been bored to tears?
No.
I don't know if I
have. How would I be bored to tears?
When you're just like, you're so, like, you're like, how long is this going to last? Like, I feel like I've been in those scenarios. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. Yeah, I can't. Oh, I do know. So I would have, when I was a sales rep, you guys know I was a sales rep for many years. We would have these yearly meetings. And most of it like doesn't really matter and it's easy and you're like, well, whatever. You're learning about something new or you're listening to some like legal person talk about like, you can't say this. And you're like, that's fine. But there would always be at least one that was so boring that I would just play Candy Crush on my phone. I was like, get me the fuck out of here. And we'd have meetings even as like our group. Cause like for sales reps, like you have your like national meeting and then you have like your regional meeting and those regional meetings and you'd have to like present. And of course, me being me, I always want to present first. I'd rather just be
done. Get it out of the way.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it. Why be stressed out? And then I'd be bored to tears for everybody else's. And it wasn't their fault. It's just that the subject matter is fucking boring as shit. There's so many things with work where you're like, so boring. Although I have to be honest, as a therapist, like CEUs and stuff like that are interesting. I don't pick CEUs or continuing education units. So it's like I pick them on subjects that I want to learn more about. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I did not know.
I took his question literally. I thought bored to tears, like you're so frustrated with boredom. Yeah. But
I mean,
I've been bored before. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But, anything you can think of? Some of the things you had to film.
Yeah. It's been a couple of pretty dry moments, but you do, you know, things you do for a dollar. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Number two, what do you find fun, but everyone else thinks is dull?
Thinks is dull. You go first.
Something I find fun. It's tricky. I actually don't mind like cleaning or doing laundry. I find it really, it's like I get to complete a task and it's so nice to be like, and they're folded and away. Like there's something about that like process that feels.
I feel that way about cooking and cleaning the kitchen. For some reason, I go into a zone. Don't ask me to do my laundry because that will take multiple weeks to do one basket.
Folded the ones that you did with?
No, I just move it around from pile to pile.
He put it on the bed, which usually means when he puts it on our bed, he's like, I'm going to fold it today because I have to do it before we have to go to bed. But then he just moved it. So the second question is, what do you find fun, but everyone else thinks is dull?
Oh, dishes and cooking. I love to cook because I think it's like a science experiment, but obviously the dishes come along with that. And
you don't mind it?
I don't mind doing dishes. I think.
Why do I end up doing them most of the time then?
You don't do dishes most of the time. I clean up after myself.
Usually when you cook, I clean. That's the deal.
I do dishes a lot.
So I retire.
Like scrubbing pots and pans.
My dishwashing gloves down.
Feel these hands. These are the hands of someone who uses Palmolive.
Yeah, so soft. I think there's a couple of things that I like that I think most people don't like. I like doing laundry.
I do not like
doing laundry. I know you don't. But I think because it feels, it's an easy task that is like, it's not that I enjoy it like, oh, this is so wonderful. It's just, it's a nice process and you fold it and you put it away and it's done. And I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that feeling. But then I also like to know how things are made. I can watch How It's Made shows like all the time and anything crime. Because Sean will be like, this is so formulaic. I know it's, I'm like, I still love it.
Okay.
I enjoy those things.
What's the third question?
Oh, third question. Sorry. I was still thinking of things. If dying from boredom was a thing, what would, oh, that's why I said, hope you find them uninteresting. David, you're so funny.
Crafty.
If dying of boredom was a thing, what would be your demise?
Hearing politicians lie. That would be the device.
Yeah.
And that nothing to do with you, David, being our prime minister, by the way.
No, we love
you. I mean, politicians, you know, if you turn on C-SPAN, for instance, and you hear someone like blathering on about something that they're claiming they care about, or I know some of them do care about things, but sometimes I find politicians speaking to be quite.
It is pretty boring. I think legal jargon.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I ever have to be.
Contract?
Yeah. If I have to ever be on calls where they go through contracts. Like, I mean, that's why I pay a lawyer, because first of all, I don't understand like 3/4 of it. And yeah.
Taxes.
Yes.
Anything the IRS does.
Good call. That overrides all of it.
Makes no sense.
We talked to our accountant and she asks us questions about things. And half the time I understand what she's asking, but half the time I don't. And those are just her questions. Those don't have anything to do with like the actual process of
filling out taxes. The forms. You're like line 7. If you have any children,
to F if you don't,
what color are your socks on Tuesday? Multiply that by 5.
Why in the, okay, just riddle me this. Why doesn't our government just tell us what we owe if they know the answer? There's this old meme that was going around or a tweet or something. It's like, why do we live in a country where the government says you owe us money every year? Well, just tell me how much and I'll pay it. No. I want you to guess. Oh, okay. I'll do my best. And if you get it wrong, we're going to charge you more.
Also, the test is very confusing.
And it doesn't make any sense. And you have to pay someone to do it.
There's no way to study for the test.
None of this makes sense. Like,
it changes every year, by the way.
The law, the tax code.
Well, I shouldn't say every year, but every president comes in and there
are... Fucks with it.
Yeah.
I agree. That was a good one. Good one, honey. That would be
right.
My demise.
Taxes. Oh, my gosh. Simplify the tax code. Make it easy for everyone so we understand what's going on. Simplify it and maybe even a flat tax.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Anyway, I would die of boredom.
Okay.
I'm already dying of boredom just talking about this. Okay. So I hope you all have a good weekend. Till next time, the Right Honorable David Redacted, Prime Minister of OTDM Land. Mm-hmm. Thanks for writing in, David. It was good to hear from you. Hopefully our answers were sufficient.
Between the toes.
Ooh. I know. Okay. We have a letter from Carolyn and it is entitled Crazy Injuries, Baby Stories, and Team Feuds.
Sorry, crazy babies?
Crazy injuries.
No.
Baby stories.
Injury stories and crazy babies, you say?
No.
Go ahead.
No, that's not what I said at all. Hi, Katie, Sean, Roxy, and the OTDM community. I have gotten injured again.
Oh.
My first major injury was about 1.5 years ago when I was diagnosed with tendonitis. After that, I sprained my ankle and I needed a boot and crutches. Not the boot.
Ankylitis is the worst.
Ankylitis.
Tennisitis is pretty bad. Tennis elbow. Is that what it is?
Socceritis.
Tendonitis.
Soccer-citis.
What is tendonitis?
I'd assume it's something to do with your tendons.
Well.
Let's look it up. I've heard it a zillion times. It's
an inflammation of the tendon due to overstrain or...
It's overuse or overuse, something, I think.
Heating it up.
Tendon.
Not heating it up enough and then using it under strain.
Tendonitis is a condition in which the tissue connecting muscle to bone becomes inflamed.
Okay.
And that can be common types of tendonitis are tennis elbow,
yeah.
Golfer's elbow.
What about computer elbow? Is computer elbow in there?
Achilles tendonitis. Uh-huh. It's technically called tendinopathy, also called tendonitis.
Well said.
Wow.
You know what I've heard also is really bad? Bursitis. Bursitis is like, I think the bursa sac that sits around that area and it's like where fluid resides. It's like a reservoir and that becomes inflamed and that's pretty bad too. Yeah, so many things.
Oh, bursitis is inflammation of the fluid-filled sac within a joint.
Ah, yeah.
Bursa inflammation. Bursa occurs most often in joints that perform frequent repetitive motion, like your knees, elbows. Right,
right. It's named after shoulders, your hips. Aunt Bursa.
Ooh, Aunt Bursa. She had it. Such a jerk.
She was the first, and they named it after
jerk, that Aunt Bursa. Okay. Okay, so that's what tendonitis is. After that, I sprained my ankle, needed a boot and crutches. 3 months later, I broke the growth plate in that same ankle. Well, God damn it.
The growth plate is the contact point where the...
Stop asking medical questions.
I don't know.
I don't have answers, Sean.
You know, I don't need you to look it up. It's okay. But I suspect that's the area on the bone where it grows from. Does it not grow in... I guess it wouldn't grow in all areas. It's just in certain areas. Because the circumference of the bone doesn't...
Did your brain almost explode? You stopped for a second.
It didn't almost explode. I had a little short circuit.
The growth plate is the area of tissue near the end of long bones in children and teens that determine the future length and shape of the mature bone.
The future.
It's the future. Each long bone has at least two growth plates, one at each end. So it's just where it grows. It's not going to grow in the middle.
Right.
It's going to grow at the end.
Okay. That makes sense, because it would be weird if the bone was growing from the center and it was like elongating this way.
So
it needs to be on the ends. So that's where it keeps spitting out.
Like, and she broke her growth plate. And if you break your growth plate, if a fracture goes through a growth plate, it can result in a shortened or crooked limb. Mm. A growth plate fracture affects the layer of growing tissue near the end of a child's bone.
Okay.
Growth plates are the softest and weakest sections of the skeleton, sometimes even weaker than surrounding ligaments and tendons.
Okay. It's just it's a soft little bone factory.
It's where it's
probably protected by the joint.
I'd assume so, because it's
hidden
end.
Inside.
It's
that.
Hidden in that, but because tendonitis and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
3 months after that, okay, I broke my growth plate.
Why would
same
anyone
ankle.
Ever want to use WebMD again when you have opinions that don't matter? We have people writing in.
We got Sue.
Opinions.
We got Carolyn.
That matter.
We have a lot of people to share. We have someone recently, was it last week, was sharing stuff too, and she's in nursing school, I think, right?
I think I'm going to dress like a doctor from now on. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on a podcast.
Yeah, it's like that at the end of the Brooklyn Nine-Nine, when it goes, not a doctor.
Right. I'll get one of those, the shiny thing that goes in your forehead.
Oh, yeah, that nobody wears anymore. Nobody wears
those anymore. It's just like a reflective device, right?
I don't know. They don't wear them anymore.
The thing to hit you on your knee and a stethoscope. I always wanted a stethoscope.
I knew you were going to say stethoscope, because it's the only word that any of us remember who are not doctors. You don't know what that thing's called. You don't know what this thing's called, but stethoscope.
Right. I want the thing on Star Trek where they just go... Not the tricorder, but the bones the doctor would always...
I don't know. I never watched that.
And then, you know, like if you were sick, they'd just go... Psh! And they would, thank you very much, doc. And they walk away. Like,
that's what was that show you were watching where there's like the belters and the whatever peoples?
What's Miami
it, the
Vice?
Expanse?
Oh, the Expanse, yeah.
Miami Vice.
They wore belts.
Belts. No, but the belters, they lived on the belt.
Yes.
Anyway, they had stuff. If you like had a big
an abrasion,
wound.
A wound.
They go, boop, 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 and it slowly grows back.
This is the future. You know what we should do? We should cut the future off at the past. Yeah, we should cut the future off the past right now, and we'll patent this for OTDMlandia. I'm a fair guy. We're fair people. We'll
totally
give it
fair.
To our audience, the revenues, of the future revenues. Mm-hmm. So all we have to do now is patent some medical devices.
All you got
to
do.
We just write it down. We send it to InventTech, just like with Joe. Now, that one didn't work, because that was ideas in here, money out here. But now,
still, it's kind of like that had to occur first for this to happen.
Well, in our patent.
Now we're putting our ideas in the box.
That noise has to be in there. So we'll send in an audio recording. And then we'll do, maybe someone can do a little drawing of like some fake skin reappearing, you know, and like a little, has to be a snazzy thing. Like, it could be an app on your iPhone.
An app.
We sell it in the app store. We could.
$9.99.
Totally. And, you know, there's
with
in-app
upgrades.
Purchases.
Yeah,
you know,
in-app like, purchases.
You want a second penis? All right. That's.
No. I gurgled.
What are you, Chewbacca over there?
Huh? Yep. I am. So I have no explanation for the noise.
OTDM coffee? Medical.
All the noise making has caused us to, we're shorting out people.
It seems that your app doesn't really do anything except for make bad noises. Hold on. We're just analyzing. Instead of putting the nuclear peptides through your toes, we have this app. It goes.
Yeah.
makes the noise when a Flintstone runs.
Oh yeah.
You know, and then Wilma, you know,
no, that doesn't, you don't, that would ruin it. You can't have any words.
Oh yeah.
Just noises.
Yeah. Yeah. It has to be international. No words.
We have to
noises.
Redact that, David.
All right. Get on it. David, okay. If you could just draw this up in patent form and send it in.
We'll
if we
sign
have any
it.
Artists out there that want to contribute. We have a scientist, Sue, could put her name to this.
Somebody.
Ben could, you know, make it official in terms of...
We could figure out how...
Well, we're going to need it when we go to Mars. Mm-hmm. So,
that's
you know,
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to Carolyn's letter.
Maybe we could sell it to Elon for, you know, how much? Like $50 billion? It's more important than Twitter. Your health is more important than Twitter.
100%.
Twitter is
bad for
your health.
There's a lot of things that are more
health.
Important than Twitter.
I mean, they're going to need it when they go to Mars. They're going to need our app.
Can I get back into her letter?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, remember, broke the growth plate into the bone on the same ankle.
Yeah.
I have hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, so I'm not surprised by these. That's what I wondered. I thought you had said that before, that you had that. So, We know we've talked about this in the past. But it's just crazy. I agree. Crazy. In between the second and third injuries, I strained my rotator cuff. After all of these, I badly dislocated my finger and had to have a splint. After that, we're still going. You ready? Buckle up. I messed up my lower back and had a paralyzed leg. Jeez Louise. But the doctors didn't think my back was the problem, even though it hurt. What? The doc gave me a brace for the pain and I could walk again. But since then, until this past Friday, I was doing good. But on Friday... I landed wrong off the bars and did something to my knee.
Off the bars?
Off of the bars, it says.
Monkey bars?
Maybe.
The drinking bars?
Maybe both. Maybe a little bit of both.
Do a backflip off the bar after getting a beer?
I don't know. I landed wrong off of bars.
Parallel bars, maybe?
Maybe. Okay. You have to let us know, Carolyn. My kneecap keeps sliding out of place, but I'm giving it time and rest. Ay, ay, ay.
Hey, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome?
Hypermobile.
Hypermobile.
Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Gotcha. Hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome.
Yes, 10 out of 10. Good job.
Sounds, it's no joke. I mean, I'm joking around here, but geez, having to live
well,
your life according
to... The things that are supposed
to
hold your bones and joints in place aren't holding your bones and
joints. Yeah, not as well as they could.
Yeah, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Painful. Hoping it will heal on its own. So anyways, that's it for my crazy injuries.
Yeah.
Time for baby stories.
I wonder if stem cell works in relation to this, if they're looking at the relationship between these two.
I'm sure there's research. You'd have to look up what research they're doing for Ehlers-Danlos. We have quite a few members of our community with it. So it's obviously not a rare condition.
No, it sounds like it's very common. Mm-hmm. Or not very common, but it's very prevalent.
So there should be...
And I wonder if this has always gone on throughout society, like what the history of this is.
We probably just didn't know what it was. There's a lot of those where there was no name for it.
Yeah.
And there's now, like, oh, they're accident prone. Mm-hmm.
Or if it's something environmental that is causing this to be more prevalent. I don't know.
I don't know.
I find it fascinating, though, like our relationship with our bodies and the environment.
So. Agreed. Okay. So baby stories. I have a sister who is current. Wait, what? I have a sister who is currently 14 months old. Parents must have got remarried or had an accident. She's climbing everything and even brings the dog his toys. This one morning I slept in, and according to my mother, when they came out of the bedroom, my sister ran over to my door. She pushed on it and yelled, hello. I was still asleep and it was a weekend, so I didn't wake up. It was hilarious.
Hello.
Hello. She learned.
Hello, little human.
But that's how she, you know. So she's only 14 months old, so just toddling around. Ran over to her door, pushed on it. Hello, are you up? No, we're not up. It was hilarious. I've got many more stories, so let me know if you want more. We always want more funny. How do you have a sister that's so little? My gymnastics teammates are crazy. One of my teammates is jealous of me because I behave appropriately. What?
Jealous because they can't keep themselves under control.
I guess not. Huh? Not totally sure how that entirely works, but it's completely crazy. All of the younger girls on the team side with me. So it's honestly just hilarious to watch her try to turn them or try to convince the coaches that I did something ridiculous. Let me know if you want more details. We always want more details, Lynn. You send it in. Thanks for reading, Lynn. And sorry, I was calling you Carolyn. I forgot you go by Lynn. That's my bad. Oh, and we have a little bit more from Lynn.
Okay.
Says, it's Lynn here again. Totally fine. And I like these. I like the back-to-back. You asked for more information on POTS.
Yes.
Basically, my autonomic nervous system has trouble regulating things. Okay. Your autonomic nervous system controls things like heart rate, blood pressure, breathing, temperature, and dilation of blood vessels. Our friend Fabs, who has long COVID, was diagnosed with something. I'm going to forget what it is, but it also affects her autonomic nervous system. So it's those things. Because of my POTS, my autonomic nervous system fails to control my heart rate when I stand up. I also have trouble with my blood vessel dilation, hence why I wear compression socks all day.
Oh, Katie wears compression socks, and I would wonder what brand you're wearing.
Comrade is the bomb.
Well, I know you. That's what you're wearing. Yeah.
But if you have any brands that you like, you let me know. Okay. I also have trouble with my blood vessel dilation, hence why I wear compression socks. This is due to both my POTS and hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. I was formally diagnosed with hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, by the way. And I know that was short, but that's all I really had to say. Lynn. Thanks, Lynn. That's really helpful. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
And Lynn, I hope you're recovering, you know, quickly.
Yeah, getting the right support.
Yeah, exactly. And watch out on those bars, man.
I know. Be careful. It's crazy. First of all, I'm just amazed that you're doing gymnastics with hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome and all the in POTS and all this stuff, because it, you know, injuries, I'd assume, are more higher likelihood of having an injury, and you're still doing what you want to do.
Kicking ass and taking names.
I know.
Amazing. I'm always impressed. I tried gymnastics for all of 2 weeks when I was a kid, because there was another kid in my class, and he was doing parallel bars.
Oh, yeah.
In gym one day. Yeah. And I was like, how the heck does he know how to... Nick was his name. Mm. And so I talked to him after class, and he's like, oh, I do gymnastics at the school. I'm like, I didn't even know we had a gymnastics program. So I went with
him. Fun.
No, it was embarrassing. Not embarrassing, but...
How old were you?
I don't know, like 13. It was grade 7.
Because they usually start when they're like 6 or 7.
Yeah, he already had the skills. I had zero skills. And so I ran full speed towards the... There's like a springboard, and then and a thing that you jump over it. Like a, it looks like a pommel horse, but it's turned sideways towards it. What is that thing called?
It's a springboard.
Yeah, but there's a springboard, and then there's a thing that you launch over. Like there's another thing. It's like a horse turned sideways.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't think of what it's called.
We'll just call it the accident site, because I hit that thing going full clip, because Nick made it look easy, and Nick was smaller than me. Mm-hmm. See?
So you're like, I can do it.
Well, he ran... It made it look very good, by the way. I still remember.
And Lynn will know what that thing's called. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Springboard. Mm-hmm. And he gracefully flew over like a ninja. Now, being someone who was in ninja training myself, I thought, easy.
So I did ninjutsu.
I hit the springboard, and the springboard was a lot stiffer.
They don't bounce that much.
No, and it jammed my knees up real good.
Oh, you like the energy. Oh, you hadn't felt the springboards. You didn't know what you were in for, because they don't bounce like.
Not at all.
It's just a little give. It's got a really thick spiral. Or a thick spring under
that. That summer, I also failed at diving, because the diving board was too springy. This one's too springy. This one's not springy enough.
Just enough.
Yeah. Well, I hit it, and my legs, you know when you like jam a joint?
Mm-hmm. That hurts.
I jammed the joint, and I looked, and I was like, oh no, no exit strategy. And I launched right into the horse. Like,
head into the horse.
Head horse. Head first.
Head horse.
And ever since then, they call me the horse.
Oh, what a good nickname.
Yeah.